All right, Genesis chapter 21 again tonight. Genesis chapter 21. I began this message on Sunday evening. So tonight I give you part two to this message that I've entitled A Birth, A Banishment, and Beersheba. That's the title of the message in Genesis chapter 21. And I'm not going to read anything right now because I'm going to read some things a little bit later. We're going to go back and get the entire introduction, the Lord willing. I'm going to bring you up to date about how far in this message we have gotten, and then God willing, we'll get to the final 3 points tonight. Genesis chapter 21, wait for me there. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and thank you for your goodness to us. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be true to you and your precious word. We thank you, Lord, that there are still people scattered around this country and around the world who have not bowed the knee, Lord, to this world. We thank you that, Lord, there's still a remnant that's alive and doing well. And I pray that you help us here to be faithful to you, to trust you, to believe you. Would you speak to us as we have this Bible study? Challenge us from this chapter, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to this chapter, I'm just repeating a lot here, but as we come to this chapter, we see three major sections brought out for our attention. These sections are verses 1 to 8, then verses 9 to 21, and then verses 22 to 34. Now, we've already preached on the first two sections, but let me go back and just say some things here. In section number 1, we see that Abraham and Sarah had a son. Abraham was 100, Sarah was 90 years old. When this child was born, Sarah gave God all the glory and all the praise. Abraham named him Isaac, circumcised him, being obedient to the Lord. That's all in verses 1 down to verse number 8. Then in verses 9 to 21, we see Sarah noticed Ishmael, Abraham's son with Hagar, mocking Isaac and making fun of him. And in the book of Galatians, we saw it last week, that Galatians identified it as a persecution. So we know that whatever Ishmael was doing, it was very harsh and very unkind. This caused Sarah to tell Abraham to cast the bondwoman and her son out because Ishmael would not be heir with her child by the name of Isaac. Now at this, Abraham became grieved because the Lord told him to listen to Sarah and to go ahead and banish Hagar and Ishmael like his wife said. He then said, "In Isaac shall thy seed be called." This is in verses 9 to 21. The Lord proceeded by telling Abraham that he would make a nation out of Ishmael as well as out of Isaac. Abraham got up early the next day and sent Hagar and Ishmael away. She departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And while there, the water that she was given was gone, and she put the child under some shrubs, went and sat down, the Bible says, a good way off because she didn't want to see the death of her baby boy. The Lord heard the voice of the child, and the angel of the Lord called to Hagar and told her not to fear, for he had heard where the child was. God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the bottle, right here, the bottle with water, gave Ishmael drink, and Ishmael began to grow again and became a mighty archer. Then in verses 22 to 34, we see Abraham spoken to by Abimelech and a man by the name of Phicol. I didn't say pickle, I said Phicol. He's the chief captain. They tell Abraham that God was with him in everything he did. Then they ask for a peace treaty. This is from verse 22 through the rest of the chapter. Between them and Abraham. Abraham agreed to this and then rebuked Abimelech for his servants violently taking away a well of water. Now Abimelech claimed he didn't know anything about his servants doing that. Abraham then took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and they both made a covenant of peace. Abraham took 7 ewe lambs by themselves, of which Abimelech asked him what those 7 ewe lambs meant. And Abraham said for him to take the lambs as a witness that he had dug that well. He then calls that place Beersheba, which means the well of an oath. These men made a covenant with one another there, And Abimelech and Phicol goes back to the land of the Philistines. Abraham plants a tree in Beersheba and calls upon the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. Now you hear about all of that and you think to yourself, in verses 1 to 8 you see a birth. Verses 9 to 21 you see a banishment. And verses 22 to the end of the chapter you see Abraham in Beersheba. Now tonight we are continuing with this thought, because my main points in this message are points of application. In other words, many times a preacher will give you a point, explain it, and then apply it. Well, I've explained this text to you in the introduction. So now I'm applying this message to you by my main points. Main point number one, if you weren't here, you can go back and get it, because I'm just going to touch on it tonight. I went in detail on Sunday night. Number one, we learn from this story that God always keeps His word. God always keeps His word. Sarah was 90. Abraham was 100 years old. Abraham was 75, basically, whenever God told him that he was going to have a baby boy by Sarah. He waited 25 years, got ahead of God, and got yoked up with Hagar. But the point is this: God is not limited by what man is limited with. God always keeps His word, no matter what it is. He is powerful enough to keep His promises. Then number two, we learn that we are to live in obedience to the Lord's commands. We saw that in verses 3 and 4 and verses 9 to 14, in that Abraham took his child and had him circumcised the eighth day, as the Bible says in verse number 2, as God, which God had spoken to him. In other words, he did as God told him to do. And we learn in that we are to live by the commands of Jesus Christ. Then number three, we looked at that law and grace do not mix. And we see that when God said, go ahead and send Hagar out, go ahead and send Ishmael away, the book of Galatians explains to us in the New Testament what he was doing. He was putting an allegory together, the Bible says. He was giving a typical teaching here. He was giving a symbolism that there is no bondwoman's son that's going to be united with the free woman's son. In other words, law and grace do not mix when it comes to the salvation of our soul. Then number four, we notice, and this is where we left off, we noticed how God hears and God helps those who are in desperation. We noticed that when Hagar thought her baby boy was going to die, the Bible says that she put him under some shrubs. He was a teenager at this time, put him under some shrubs, which tells you how weak he must have been. She goes a good way off, the Bible says, because she did not want to see her boy take his last breath. And the Bible plainly teaches that God heard the child. And the angel of the Lord came to Hagar. He had already promised them anyway that he's going to make a mighty nation out of him. And he comes to her in her time of desperation. And I'm glad to announce to you that when life is desperate, when you're in a time of desperation and anxiety and trouble and trial, there's a God in heaven who hears and helps those in desperation. Then we pick up with point number five. These are so simple it's ridiculous, I'm almost embarrassed. But I'm telling you that simple gospel truth can change your life. And these are simple thoughts. Point number five, here it is. Live in such a way that others can see God is with you. Live in such a way that others can see God is with you. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at verse number 22 of our text. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of the host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Let me ask you a question. How's he know? How do he know that? You know what that tells me? He was watching Abraham. And that tells me that Abraham lived such a life in front of this man that the only thing he could say is, God's with you in everything you do, sir. Now I'm telling you, that speaks to me. That speaks to my heart right there. I'm telling you that in the last major section of this chapter, we see Abimelech and Phicol speaking to Abraham, and they're establishing a covenant with him. And in this section, they said, I just can't help but start this way, Abraham. God is with you in everything you do. Now, I'm telling you, this challenges me. This challenges my heart. And this makes me want to get on my face before God and beg Him for His blessing to be upon me in such a way that it is obvious to others. I'm telling you something tonight. This has nothing to do with me, but it has everything to do for His glory and His honor. What I'm saying to you, I like it how the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God inspired the words that Abimelech did not say, Abraham, you're a great man. Abraham, you're such a mighty human being. It didn't start that way. He lived his life in such a way, and God's blessing was on his life in such a way that this man did not give praise to Abraham. He was praising Abraham's God. And he was saying, God is with you in everything that you're doing. Now I'm telling you tonight, this challenges my heart. Let me ask you a question. When others are around you for any amount of time, is it obvious that God is with you? Is it obvious that the blessing of God is on your life? Can others see without a question that God's blessing is upon your life? How's your testimony? Are you living in such a way that others just look and say, God is with him. God is with her. I was preaching in West Virginia this morning. They call it hurricane, but I still think it's hurricane. It's spelled that way. Drop the E's, what I told Brother Steve, and so on. Of course, I'm a country boy. I don't know any better. You know what I'm saying? But I was up there. I was preaching there this morning. Zach and Danny went with me, and Zach drove. Praise the Lord. I felt like somebody important sitting in the back. But there's one reason I sat in the back. They're crazy about what I'm saying. I don't want to be associated with them. I'm kidding with you. I appreciate them going. But they can testify what I'm about to say. There's a lady got up to sing this morning. Have y'all ever heard the song, It's Still the Blood? Have y'all ever heard that song, It's Still the Blood? This woman wrote that song. I didn't know it. He announced it. She got up and sung another song that she wrote, and God came down. I mean, I was crying. I mean, just a tear coming out my face. I mean, God blessed that song. Brother John Reynolds, who was the moderator of the meeting, he got up and said, this is the lady who wrote it, Steal the Blood. And he looked at her and said, would you? She said, yeah. He had her sing that song, and I'm telling you, glory. Hallelujah. I was telling the guys on the way home, I said, God's on that woman. God's all over her. I want that. I want that. I want when people get around me for them to say, God's on that young man. God's blessing him. God's touching his life. I'm talking about things happening where it cannot be man. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? I'm talking about living in such a way that when the world looks in, I'm not talking about me. I'm not talking about lifting me up. You're missing the whole point here if you're taking it that way. I'm talking about living in such a way that people say, God is doing that. Live in such a way that others see God with you. Now, if you're saved, He's in you. But do people see Him with you? There's a big difference. Point number 6. So simple, ridiculous. But can I confess to you tonight? I'm praying, God, make me more simple. So if you don't like the simpleness, you better find another church, because if He answers that prayer, it's going to get worse than it is tonight. I'm just being facetious. Please don't find another church, okay, folks? I'm just trying to say simple truth. God spoke to me when I saw that. God is with you in everything you do. That's a powerful statement. Point number 6. Live in peace with others. Live in peace with others. Let's read this because I want you to see it. Look at verse number 22. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of the host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now therefore swear unto me here by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me, and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. Great truth right there. I'm going to bring it out in just a minute. And Abimelech said, I wot not who had done this thing, neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it, but today. Abraham took sheep and oxen, gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. Abraham set seven ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. Abimelech said unto Abraham, what mean these seven ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, for these seven ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because they swear both of them. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, and they returned to the land of the Philistines. Now you read those verses, and I'm just trying to tell you something. What's going on? Abimelech approaches Abraham and asks for peace. He's asking for a peace treaty. Now, let me say this to you. We see Abraham coming into a peace treaty between he and Abimelech. Now get this. It is no doubt that the Lord desires for his children to live in peace with those around them. The Bible says in Romans 12, 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Mark 9, 50, salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. Romans 14, 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Hebrews 12, 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man can see the Lord. Psalm 34, 14. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The Lord does want his children, listen to me, he does not want his children to go around with a chip on their shoulder. He does not want his children to go around with bitterness and anger in their heart towards another human being. He's a God of peace. He is a God that desires his children to be people of peace. In these verses, we see some thoughts that can help us get peace with people. No doubt there are some people, it's hard to get peace with them. Some of you all have family members that you've been trying to make peace for years and they just won't let you do it. I want to give you some thoughts here that's going to help in this. Thought number one under this. Somebody has to initiate the process. Somebody has to start the process. You say, what are you talking about? Abimelech and Phicol came to Abraham to ask him to promise them to live in peace with them and with their children and with their grandchildren. In this, the first thing God showed me was how these two men initiated this process. They initiated it. By the way, let me say this. We live in a land right now that God's men who have God's blessing upon them are the enemy. We live in a land today that the truths of the Word of God are looked down upon. But this man Abimelech was a lot smarter than many Americans. He saw a man who had God in his life. And he went to him and said, I want to have peace with you, sir. I'm telling you, the world needs to see that. All I'm saying to you is this. We don't know much about these men, but we can all learn a great truth. And that great truth is we need to be willing to initiate a covenant of peace with somebody else. You know what happens many times? Somebody wrongs you and all this kind of stuff. And you sit back and say, well, It's their place to come and submit and be and swallow their pride. And I'm waiting on them. My hands are open if they come, but they're going to make the first step. You listening to me? You just told on yourself. If their pride keeps them from coming to me, then I'll pray for them. Let me ask you a question. What does God want you to do? Somebody has to be willing to initiate the process. By the way, Abimelech, notice what Abimelech asked him in verse 23. He said in the middle, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me. You know what Abimelech said? Abraham, I'm asking you to make a peace treaty with me, and what I'm asking you to do is just do what I'm doing with you. Golden rule. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. You say, how am I supposed to treat my enemy? The way you hope they treat you, that's how. The way that pleases Jesus Christ. Thought number one under this, live in peace with others. Thought number one, someone must initiate the process. Thought number two, someone has to accept the approach. See, Abraham was the one approached. Abimelech was the one that initiated the process, but Abraham could have stopped it if he wanted to. He could have. He could have done anything he wanted to here. But you know what Abraham did? He said, I will. I will. He agreed to live in peace. Abraham didn't try to throw his weight around, is what I'm trying to say. Abraham didn't say, wait a minute. You see who I am? I'm too good to make a peace treaty with you. No, Abraham accepted this peace treaty. Abraham desired to live in peace. He didn't want any controversy. He wanted peace. If someone comes to you asking for peace, how would you respond? In a crowd this size, somebody's been wronged. Now let's just put it out there. I don't know who it is. I don't need to know who it is, but somebody's been wronged. In a crowd this size, it's inevitable. Somebody has been mistreated. And I'm asking you a question. If somebody came to you and said, would you please live in peace with me? If that person came to you or called you tonight, how would you respond? So I'll tell you one thing, the pastor would never know how I respond. None of his business. You're right. You're right. But God's with you and he sees how you respond. See, somebody must initiate it, but somebody must also accept it. If you try to initiate and they don't accept it, God is pleased with you. Did you hear what I just said? God is pleased with you. If Abraham would have said no, Abimelech still did the right thing. It would have been Abraham's fault and God would have dealt with Abraham. Help me out a little bit tonight, friends. Amen. Let me give you a third thought here. You ready? You ready for this? It's right here, friends. I get it. I'm going to deal with this in Matthew when we get to it. So I'm not going to deal with it much here, but here's number three under this. Transgression must be dealt with first before peace can come. The transgression, the wrong, it must be dealt with before peace can ever come. You say, what are you talking? Now, some people abuse that. Wait a minute. You stared at me cross-eyed. I want you to know you offended me. No, I'm talking about things that the Holy Spirit says it'll never be right until it's made right. Do you understand what I'm saying? You need Holy Ghost discernment in this. This is not an open-ended statement. Oh, I tell you what. Oh, I'm telling you. Hey, he slammed the door in my face. I need to go get in his face. No. You got to have Holy Ghost discernment. But it's interesting what Abraham did. Look at it. Look at verse number 24. And Abraham said, I will swear. And then the next verse. Abraham reproved Abimelech. Wait a minute. Abimelech comes to him and says, I want to have peace. Give me peace, please. Give me peace. Abraham said, okay. But first, you did me wrong. By the way, Abimelech didn't even know about it, which could have caused Abraham, are you listening to me? Could have caused Abraham to have false accusations toward Abimelech and everything else when Abimelech didn't even know. Let me tell you that there's a lot of wrongs that are committed, and sometimes the person who does it to you doesn't even know what they did. Did you understand that? Somebody ever gotten mad at you and you hear through the grapevine, they said you did that, and you're like, what? Did I really do that? And if they would have come to you, you would have repented in dust and ashes because you didn't realize you did it. You understand what I'm saying to you? Abimelech didn't even know about this, but Abraham did the right thing. He went straight to the one who he thought wronged him. God, help me to get this across right here. What I'm saying to you, Abraham said, your servants took away a well that belongs to me violently. This is right after he said, okay, I will give you peace. Does anybody not see that? I mean, here comes Abimelech. I want peace. Please give me peace. Will you do it, Abraham? Yes. Oh, by the way, your servants took away a well from me. And it wasn't right. Now, here's the point I'm trying to say, friends. I'm saying to you that Abraham knew he could never have peace with Abimelech until that wrong was corrected. It had to be made right. What I'm saying to you is this. This goes to show that when peace is being sought, a denial of wrong is not the way to have peace. I'm going to deal with this more in depth when I get to Matthew chapter 18, I believe. What I'm saying to you, you need Holy Spirit discernment. Like I said, you should not go to everybody who offends you at any time in life, because that's the only thing you'd ever get done, friends. Amen or not? I'm saying, but when God shows you, I want you to have peace with this person, and that person has wronged you, the Bible says you go to that person and you express to them, Matthew 18, read it yourself. We're getting close to it in our study in Matthew. You go to them first, because by doing that you may gain a brother. You know what Christians do? You know what people in every church have been guilty of? Somebody offends them, somebody wrongs them, and sometimes that person that's done the wrong doesn't even realize what they've done. But that person, instead of going to that person and making it right, seeking peace, pursuing peace, trying to give them an opportunity to make it right, if they did do a wrong, many times they're ignorant about it. You mean I did that? Oh, I'm so sorry. But many times Christians don't go to them. They go to this person and that person and that person and that person. Let me help you with something. Dr. Clarence Sexton put it this way, and I like it. Godly people take big things and shrink them. Immature Christians take small things and make them bigger. And if you have a problem with somebody and you've not gone to that person, you are wrong. But if you have gone to somebody else, you are doubly wrong. That is not the will of Almighty God. This is Bible teaching. That many times, in order for you to truly have peace with somebody, there must be a wrong that needs to be dealt with. You don't throw grenades. It's all in your spirit. Let me give you a way to help with this. Say Nathan did me wrong. He does it all the time. I'm kidding with you. I'm kidding. Say he did me wrong. God would want me, in other words, I'm praying, God, do you want me to go to him? Is this big enough to go to him? Are you following me what I'm saying? Is this big enough to go to him? Or am I just being a baby? Amen or not, friends? Am I just being a baby in this? Do I just need to turn a cheek to this? Because the Bible does teach that too. You want me to turn the other cheek, or do you want me to go to him? And let's say in this particular area, he wants me to go to him. I go to him. I should not rip him. If I rip him, I could be doing the right thing in the wrong way, which makes the right thing wrong. It's in the spirit. You go to him, you say, Nathan, I love you. You're my brother, and I don't want to hold any bitterness. You may not even be aware of this, but even if you are, I want you to know your decision is your decision, but I want us to have a strong relationship and go forward to reach people for Jesus Christ. This. Now, how he responds is up to him and God. But how I bring it out is between me and God too. I'm not saying that you approach them in a bad spirit. That's ridiculous. Approach them in a way that's pleasing to Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Matthew 18:15, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault. Between thee and him alone, if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." Leviticus 19:17, "Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him." Luke 17:3, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him." How do you get more plainer than that, friends? If you have an issue with another person, go to that person asking God to help you have the right spirit and the right attitude. Be much in prayer. Make sure God is telling you to go. And if he does, ask God to help your spirit be right. You can never have you can never have peace with that person until you do. This does not mean that you go over every little petty thing, but be sensitive to the times when the Lord tells you to do this. By the way, like I've already said, if you run your mouth to somebody else other than the one you have a problem with, that is sin against God. And he's not pleased with it. Finally, the fourth thing under this, we're just talking about how to have peace with people. Somebody must initiate the process. Somebody must accept it. If there's transgression there, it needs to be dealt with. And number four, somebody's going to have to be willing to sacrifice. Because you know what Abraham did? You can read it. You can read it later. You know what Abraham did? He got some of his own animals and gave them to Abimelech. You listening to me? Who did who wrong? Abimelech did him wrong. He gets it right. He brings it up to Abimelech. But when Abimelech should have been flooding him with animals, Abraham says, "Let me give you something of my own here. I'm going to sacrifice. Let me take my hands off of my own stuff and give it to you." And Abimelech said, What are these things?" He says, "This is a witness that I really did dig this well." You know what we'd say? Let Abimelech crawl back to me. Let Abimelech bring me some of his stuff. He's the one that deserves to lose some things. Not Abraham. Abraham took his own and sacrificed. You want to have peace? Be willing to initiate it. You want to have peace? If somebody comes to you that you didn't even know you wronged, be willing to accept it for the sake of the gospel and say, "I'm sorry. Please forgive me." If there is a wrong, make it right. And then be willing to go above and beyond. Live in peace with people. Let me give you the final thing here tonight. And that is this, verses 33 and 34. Notice what Abraham did. "And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days." It's interesting that when Abimelech left and Phicol went back to the land of the Philistines, the Bible says Abraham planted a grove. You know what that word grove means? It's a tree, basically. He went and got a tree and planted it. Kind of weird, isn't it? How are you going to celebrate, Abraham? "I'm going to go buy a tree and plant it." The interesting thing about these groves is these groves were places where people met God. And I'm telling you that what we see Abraham doing is he's worshiping the Lord again. He goes and gets a tree. Now these groves became almost idolatrous later on, and they had to tear them down and so on. But back in this day when Abraham planted this grove, he was saying, "I'm making a place where I can have sweet communion with God." The way the Lord spoke to me is this: worship the Lord everywhere you go. Wherever you are, worship the Lord in that place. Plant a grove right there. Plant a grove at your workplace, in your home, on your business. I'm telling you that Abraham was in the habit of worshiping the Lord everywhere he went. Even when it was times of peace. See, a lot of times we try to worship God when we need Him. Oh, I need you. Please. Oh! Abraham realized that the peace only came through God anyway. And the Bible says there he called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. Let us worship and call upon the Lord wherever we may be found. He is the one who is from everlasting to everlasting. He is worthy to be praised and worthy to be prayed to. And let us worship Him everywhere we go. I'm just about done. Let me just give you several scriptures. Would you let me do that? Deuteronomy 33, 27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Psalm 29, 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 95, 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Psalm 99, verse 5. Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at His footstool, for He is holy. John 4, 23. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Revelation 4, 10 and 11, I like this. The 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Hebrews 4, 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. We may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Psalm 65, 2, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Ephesians 6, 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. See, it makes no difference where you are in this world. Makes no difference what's going on in that place. Let us be like Abraham and go pick up a grove. Go take a tree and plant it in that place and make it a holy place where you call upon God, who is the everlasting God. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is worthy. He is holy. He needs to be praised. He needs to be worshiped. He's been good to me. He's been good to you. Thank God for the everlasting God tonight, who is so good to His children. And may I say, may we see some groves that's been planted around the Tri-Cities and around the world for the glory of God by the members of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. What do we learn from chapter 21? We learn from it that God always keeps His word. Man, that challenges me. That blesses my heart. That lets me know that I am going to make it to heaven someday. I am going to see Jesus face to face. I am going to have a place where there be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death. Good night, I'm feeling good tonight. I'm telling you, God always keeps His word. Number two, we learn that we are to live in obedience to God's word. If He tells us jump, we ought to say, how high, sir, and I'll do the best I can. Number three, we learn that law and grace do not mix. Aren't you glad you don't have to earn your way to heaven, friends? If you had to earn your way to heaven, you wouldn't make it, neither would I. We don't earn our way to heaven. We accept our way to heaven. His name is Jesus Christ. We learn that God hears and helps those in desperation. You might be in a situation tonight, you don't know which way to turn. I'll tell you which way to turn. Turn up, because there's a God in heaven who loves you and cares for you and hears and helps those in desperation. We learn, number five, that we're to live in such a way that others just have to step back and say, God's on that person. God's with that person. Good night, there's no way to even explain it. God is blessing that person's life. We learn, number six, that we're to live in peace with others. And in that we learn somebody must initiate the process. Somebody has to accept it. The wrong must be made right. And somebody has to be willing to sacrifice. And we learn finally to plant a grove and worship the Lord wherever you are. Simple thoughts. God's challenging me. What's He doing with you? Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love You. Help us tonight. Speak to us. Challenge us. May the will of God be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I ask you this question: do you know Jesus? Are you a Christian? Are you saved? Are you born again? I mean, do you really know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Has there been a time in your life where you trusted the Lord, repented of your sin, and received the gift of eternal life? If that's never happened to you, come tonight. Let us take a Bible. Lady with a lady, man with a man, we'll share the gospel with you. As they begin to play, let me ask you something. Let me ask you some questions, Christians. You bird tonight about your testimony. Do others look at you and say, God is with them? God is with them. Maybe God's speaking to you in that way. Maybe tonight God's speaking to you because there's somebody you need to make peace with. Maybe you've been waiting on them to come to you, but God's speaking to you tonight about you going to them. And you do believe that this is one of those situations that you do need to correct it, or they need to correct it, or whatever the case may be. You don't think this is something that you need to sit on, turn the cheek to. If God's speaking to you in that way, friends, listen to me. You live in obedience to the Word of God, He'll bless it. He'll bless it. Maybe some of you need to say, I need to make something right with something. Maybe you're the one that did something wrong. Maybe you need to go to somebody. Ask Him to forgive you. Or maybe tonight God's speaking to you about your worship. Oh, you worship God in the pew, you worship God in the church, but when you go to school, your worship ceases. What I'm saying to you, young people, is as you're walking through the school and your backpacks are on your back, somebody ought to see a leaf from a tree in that backpack. Carry the tree with you. I'm talking about a place where you call upon God. Do they see trees around you, friends? I don't know what God's speaking to you about, but let's do business with Him. Let's ask Him to help us. Father, take this simple thought and use it, I pray. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. If God is dealing with you, would you leave your place? Would you come as He sings? Come now.
I am thine, O Lord.
So I want people to see God on me. Somebody I need to make peace with. I need to take a tree and plant it at my workplace. I need to take a tree and plant it in my school. I need to take a tree and plant it on my ball team. God's speaking to you. Come, talk to God.
Nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to Thy precious bleeding Son.
Our Father, we love You tonight. Thank You for thank you for Your Word and how it speaks to our hearts. Pray that You'll take these simple thoughts and drive them home. Help us to be willing to be obedient. To say yes to the will of God no matter what it is. Keep Your hand upon this church and bless it, I pray. Bless these precious people. Thank You for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, look here just a moment. I love you. I care about you. I want God's best for you. I was challenged in this meeting that I was just a part of about being a better pastor, if you will. And I want you to know that it's my privilege, my wife and I's privilege, to be the pastor and her the pastor's wife of this great place. We love you. We care about you. We're here for you. Don't ever think that you're bothering me if you call me. You got a prayer request, somebody's sick, you want us to go see them. That's why we're here. So may the Lord help you with this, okay? God bless you. Appreciate you coming tonight. Try to bring somebody with you for Sunday. If you can be here at 10 o'clock for visitation on Saturday, that'll be great.